This is Dr. Chib. That's the Prince Alex. Welcome to the Blue Collar Dynasty Podcast.
We're busting our backs, getting our jeans dirty, and playing next man up dynasty football. We're giving you an in the trenches dynasty talk every week. Please reach out to us on Instagram at Blue Collar Dynasty, where you can get sneak previews of the things to come, and on Twitter at Born Football. That's B-O-R-N-E football. We'd love to hear from you.
This week, we're talking fantasy trade deadlines, starts of the week, last minute investments. All right, let's get to it. All right. I think we're starting with last minute investments. And so we're looking at the schedule or the situation changes and who can help you win the season and will improve. So most likely the person that we're talking to in this situation is a person who's a contender. Like you're trying to vibe? I'm the doctor. I don't know.
You're trying to win. I can say that. Trying to win this season.
You're vying for a title.
Oh, vying. Vying. Yeah, that's a good word. V-I-E. Yeah, vie. That's a weird one. That if you think about it too much, it's like those words that turn into sounds. You know, you're like, bye, bye, bye.
You're right. Yeah. You're right. I was thinking about that. Like, is this a word?
That can't be a word. It's too short.
Somebody was choking on something, and it just said, yeah, we'll call that. So anyway, you're vying for a title. You're trying to win this thing, all right? So we're trying to figure out, okay, who are some people you can put on your roster who won't cost you an arm or who might not cost you an arm and a leg if you, you know, if you're renegotiated, wink, wink, I'm not. All right, and so we're going to start with the quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end, and we'll go to the next thing, week 10 starts. So for the quarterback, we got two people on here. Number one, we got Jared Goff. Number two, we got Joshua Dobbs. All right, Data Prince, why don't you talk about Jared Goff, and then I'll talk about Joshua Dobbs.
Yeah, so first off, the thing I
love. Joshua Dobbs, man. Let me just tell y'all. I'm just joking.
Oh, my gosh. Just cutting me right off. What the hell?
Hey, I thought you were done.
Yeah, I'm done. That's it. That Joshua Dobbs guy, he's great. No, Jared Goff is actually better. A little bit better. Not by much, but a little bit better. At least in terms of fantasy points. He's great because he's got at least, I'm thinking six great matchups. He's got seven, really, but one of those is in week 18. So, you know, some of these matchup counts might decrease them by one if, you know, you're looking at week 18 and you guys don't play in week 18. Hopefully you don't, because fantasy sucks in week 18 because everybody benches their starters. So right off the bye this week, we've got the Chargers and then Chicago. Both teams are beatable. Chicago, I would expect their defense to do a little bit better with some of those trades came in. Who'd they pick up? They grabbed Washington, Montez Sweat. So some pass rush. That might help Chicago's defense. But still, Jared Goff should be able to perform just fine against both of those teams. There's a blip in the schedule against Green Bay, but they lost the cornerback to Buffalo. So, you know, that might not be as bad going forward. And then you got four straight: New Orleans, Chicago, Denver, Minnesota. Those are all great matchups. And then week 17 is where you got a problem with Dallas. So, you know, Jared Goff is a good player. He does have a low floor in bad matchups. So you don't want to play him in a bad matchup, but in those good matchups, he can really go off and put up some solid over 20 point numbers, sometimes even reaching into the 30s. But he's a quarterback without legs, you know, and he chucks it. So you're looking for volume and touchdowns. So any games where they might be ahead, I would be a little bit worried about playing him. So you're looking for Jared Goff to basically come in and be a starter. Maybe you lost Kirk Cousins or something like that. Jared Goff's a good Kirk Cousins replacement. And You know, he's also a good bye week fill-in. So if you're in need of a quarterback, Jared Goff's a good guy to have in your rotation.
All right. Now to the main point of the show, Joshua Dobbs. So, first of all, last week I told y'all what he was going to do, all right? Then he did what he needed to do, all right? And now we know what he always do, okay? This man's a walking – he's a walking winner, y'all. I'm telling y'all, walking winner. He got alopecia, lost his hair so he can win more games, all right? So, all I'm saying is this guy didn't even play the whole game last week and gave 23 points. He only played one half, right? And 23 points, I'm telling y'all. So he's actually, in our league, he's actually ranked number 13. In terms of points, fantasy points, not projections, but just points. And I just believe he has this innate desire to win and to win in any way possible. And a lot of times in Minnesota this year, they're going to be playing from the back or playing to win, you know? And they're in the game, right? They've been close in so many games. And you don't trade for a player unless you think they're valuable. So clearly Minnesota thinks he's valuable, that he can plug him into the system and he can be successful. He has legs, so he runs more than Kirk Cousins anyway. So he can extend plays, right? And it's like kind of like it's not about getting the big play, but we just need these 5 yards, these 7 yards or whatever, just to get another down. And then little by little, he starts to beat you down, right? So I think with that being said, he's a great pickup. And then if you look at his upcoming schedule – next game against New Orleans, they have a great defense. I ain't gonna lie about that, right? But we'll see how they do against a running quarterback. And I'm not saying Josh Dobbs is a running quarterback, but he's a guy he'll get out the pocket if he needs to.
Oh no, don't lie to me. I watched that game. He knows how to run. He had 66.
He's not run first.
No, he's not run first. You're right.
That's what I mean.
So just to give you a baseline, he's putting up about 40 yards a game with his legs. So he does run quite a bit. He's averaging about 6 rushes every game.
Exactly.
Definitely adds, and that's a big part of his fantasy value there.
Yes, huge part. And then you got so they play New Orleans next, then they play Denver, then they play the Bears. Then they have a bye week. Then they go in and play Las Vegas. Then have the Bengals. That's going to be tough. Then they have Detroit. Then they have the Green Bay Packers. They should win that and do well. He should do well in that. Then they have Detroit last again. And I don't know if that last week, if Detroit's going to play all their players. So it might be a nice opportunity for you to get more points in that week if he's able to kind of pick apart the defense potentially. So,
yeah. Well, anyway, and something to remember too, or keep in mind, Chip, too, is week 18, most of the time we're not playing fantasy football, hopefully, in those good leagues, because the playoffs should be in week 17, just because of all of the sitting that happens in week 18. Just doesn't make it fun. Honestly, I will say that leaks into week 17 sometimes and can screw things up.
That's true. I will, and then, well, in that case, I will also, last point for Joshua Dobbs, he plays up to his competition. So he hasn't, like, he didn't have a bad game against a good team. Let me say that. Like, the Eagles, he had 27, almost 28 points, right? Chargers, 22 points, pretty much, right? The only team that he struggled with actually was the Chiefs, where he only scored 7 points, and then San Francisco, where he only scored 10 points. Those are the only two good teams he struggled with, right? But those two teams have, like, elite defenses, which you really can't argue against in that capacity. Anyway, that's my spiel for Mr. Joshua Dobbs. You'll hear more on him later.
So just to support your point a little bit, too.
I love support.
So I took a gander at a normal league. So we oftentimes, unfortunately, reference our league that we're in together. Our scoring for quarterbacks is a little wonky. Generally, it's translatable. Something to keep in mind is that for our listeners, that in those normal leagues or typical scoring leagues, rushing quarterbacks do a lot better than in our league. So Josh Dobbs actually is better than Jared Goff in most leagues. Whereas in our league, they actually flipped those 9 and 13 spots. But in most leagues, Josh Dobbs is the ninth best quarterback right now, which is kind of outrageous.
But is it?
And shout out to CJ Stroud, who's currently number 7.
Okay.
So, freaking Sam Howell is number 6. So, you know, there's some weird ones up there. Let's talk running backs. I'll run through the 3 and then we can choose our guys to talk about. Ramondre Stevenson, David Montgomery, and Derrick Henry. All 3 great buy, for the most part, buy lows. David Montgomery is probably the cheapest of the 3, then followed by Derrick Henry, and then finally Ramondre Stevenson, who, if he's low, it's because his performance so far has been mediocre, but he's still a top 24 running back, and he had a good week last week. We're probably at the trade deadline, so you kind of got to trade for him now. And he's really good, but he's also younger than the other guys, so he's going to cost a little bit more. Yeah, so I guess that's what I would say. Bear that in mind. Ramondre Stevenson does have 7 great matchups, so if there's a guy to go trade for, it's Ramondre to help you out in your push for the playoffs and then through the playoffs. David Montgomery's coming back from injury and just coming off the bye, so I love him. 5 great matchups, worth putting him in your lineup. And then Derrick Henry also has 5 great matchups. Chances are he's probably not going to be worth much after this season, but we keep saying that. Yet they do have Tajay Spears right behind him, so I would expect him to still have some good games. You know, at least 5 at the tail end of the season.
Definitely.
What are your
thoughts? They also look like they're trying to make a move. Like they're trying to, they like woke up or something. I mean, they lost their last game though.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I like Will Levis as quarterback there. It's definitely helping them.
Yeah, definitely. That's no doubt about that. But yeah. And then David Montgomery, that's a really good, if you can get him, that's, and especially if you get him at a good price, that's really a steal. I'll be honest. He's had a great season. He's going to, hopefully after this injury thing, he's going to only get better. But we'll see.
Yeah, and I will say my only worry with David Montgomery is Jahmyr Gibbs next to him. They've been using them both enough, but Jahmyr Gibbs has really come on lately. And so we might see a shift in how they use the 2 of them. I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs is coming on to the scene has been entirely without David Montgomery in the mix. So it's really going to be up to the coaching staff whether they use David Montgomery to his full potential. That's running backs. Let's talk wide receivers. Dr. Chibb, I think you actually suggested all 3 of these in the, I think I suggested actually the first one, so I'll take him. DeAndre Hopkins, he's got 4 great matchups. He's got the rookie quarterback, Will Levis, who absolutely peppered him with targets in his first start. I'm kind of loving the idea of a Will Levis, like...
D-Hop connection?
Yeah, D-Hop connection, but also just like emergence onto the scene. You know, just storming the NFL. So
he was just named QB1.
Yeah, he was named QB1. The coaching staff, the NFL, everybody's really loving what they see out of Will Levis. So I'm expecting great things. I'm kind of starting him in a couple of my leagues. I think he's my start of the week. Yep, he is giving that away. So definitely DeAndre Hopkins, 4 great matchups. And paired up with Will Levis, I like it moving forward. Again, older, so he should be cheaper.
Yep, and you know the situation at the team is not perfect. I guess I would say it's emerging, so you have a little bit of ability to kind of bargain that. And he's only on like a 1 or 2 year contract, right?
Yep.
So making it so his future is even more unknown. So you might be able to get him for a good price. All right, next person, Davante Adams. Another guy, he's 30 years old. he's on the Raiders. He has had an abysmal season, honestly. Let's be honest about that. Raiders are not vying for any playoff spot or anything like that. They're just playing for pride right now. New, different coaching situation. We'll see how that works out. You know, they won their first game, but it was against the Giants. And we all know the Giants are absolute hot garbage, dumpster fire, burning on a pile of doo-doo. So with that being said, it's not really a great measurement stick for how they're going to do. And I think in our league, he only still put up 5 points in that game. So there's still going to be some. And then what's his name? Garoppolo is not fully healthy. So a lot of different unknowns there. But he has, as a team, they do have great matchups. They have more chemistry. Things look like they're trending upwards. So he might be a big beneficiary of that. He should be a big beneficiary of that. So there's still enough risk in it where you should be able to get him for a decent price, right, or lower because of his age, the riskiness of it, all that stuff. But if things do pan out really well, it's that risk you took has a huge upside, right? And yeah. So that's why I thought he'd be a good choice. Anything you want to add for him?
Yeah, the quarterback there right now is Aiden O'Connell. Jimmy Garoppolo actually got benched. He's maybe healthy, or I should say, he's maybe injured. He's not injured, actually. He's not on the injury report. So Aiden O'Connell is fully the starter moving forward. They just want to see what the rookie's got. He showed up a lot in preseason. So it'll be interesting, I think, to see what he's got and whether or not he can really, again, pepper Adams with targets. He hasn't done it yet, but, you know, maybe there's some hope going forward that he can get something done.
Yeah.
I like your pick of Devonta Smith, largely because I happen to have a decent amount of or a decent number of shares of Devonta Smith. I will say I did get rid of him in a good number of leagues. I think I had him in like 4 leagues. I really believed in this guy coming out, and I loved having him as a rookie. I saw that he was probably worth more on the open market than he would be going into the season, where he's the number 2 on his team and really disappeared for stretches during last season. And so I think we've seen that so far with him, the disappearing act. But mm-hmm. if it's like last year, I think they're going to realize, oh, we do have Devonta Smith on this team. We could use him. And I think we might see an emergence of Devonta Smith and maybe not that I want to predict this, but I think AJ Brown might come down to earth a little bit. That's what happened last season. And, you know, history doesn't always repeat itself, but I do think that they need to spread the ball around a little bit more, and that might be how they do it. So 6 great matchups. So, you know, that's good for AJ Brown and Devonta Smith. And yeah, they should be phasing him in a little bit more down the stretch. I think they like to save him, keep him healthy. He does have that smaller frame, so I think they're a little bit more careful with him than AJ Brown.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, your analysis was spot on for me. It's funny because I think in the beginning, not beginning, maybe like 3 or 4 episodes ago, you asked me some questions about what would happen. 2 truths and a lie. I think one of the yep. questions was Devontae and AJ, we will be both top 5 receivers, I think, something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, yeah, I agree with that. Because they have to find balance. They have to find parity with those two, because you can't just feed AJ Brown the whole time or vice versa. You got to become a threat. And I think with Jalen, he's thrown more picks this year than ever. So there has to be a way to kind of help him still get the ball out, move the chains, and keep, you know, these two guys happy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would argue the same is true in Miami. You know, Tyreek Hill has been awesome. Jalen Waddle has, I think, needed a little bit more target share there. So I think both of those second-year guys, I say second-year, but actually, aren't they third-year? Yeah, yeah, this is his third-year. Yeah, yeah.
All right, let's move on to the tight ends.
All right.
No, it's been the year of the tight ends.
Oh, yeah, dude, you've got so many tight ends. You've actually, I think you're affecting the league. You've got so many good tight ends.
I do.
Dude, you've got Hunter Henry, David Njoku, Zach Ertz. You did pick up Alec, or not Alec Ogletree, Andrew Ogletree, and you also have Dalton Kincaid. So
Yep.
you've got three startable tight ends on your team, which is more than I can say for any of the other positions on your team. Except maybe, except, oh no. Do you have a, you've got, okay, except kicker. Kicker, you have three as well.
Yep, that's true.
Oh, maybe not the
Yeah,
places I would focus, Jim.
hey, listen, you got to get it where you can get it, you know? So I'm just trying to get some kind of value. I'm just waiting for somebody to come and pick up Njoku, you know? This man looking real good. You know, get you a quick 17. Might mess around, give you 20 something one day when you really need it. So yeah, I'll call me because he's been through the fire. He's stronger than ever.
Just keep selling
Hey, I'm doing my best out here to promote a great, great, great person, but he won't be on that market for long. So y'all
all
better.
right. Tell me the truth. Would you sell, or would you trade, I should say, David Njoku for Geno Smith?
Yeah.
So what if you just traded David Njoku, Geno Smith, for Geno Smith, and maybe you get for Geno Smith, you also get Kenneth Walker on your team. DJ Dallas as a backup, you know, get yourself some DK Metcalf, maybe a Tyler Lockett, you know, and just really load up. And, you know, Colby Parkinson, maybe a Noah Fant.
You can keep DK, but I'll take Tyler Lockett. I'll take Kenneth Walker.
Doesn't like his team's number one wide receiver.
Needs to do a little more for me. Question: do you have Gino? And are you trying to trade him to me for
No, I
Njoku?
don't have Gino.
Because I give it to you in a heartbeat. Yeah, straight up trade.
Yeah.
Yes, you
I'm
offer
not
me
that
my quarterback. I give him, yes.
Dr. Chibb, I'm not that stupid to invest in Gino.
Hey, I'm stupid, so just tell it to me. That's
Just
what you're trying to
messing.
say. Then that's hey,
Just sending those fighting words out.
look, I know what I want. If you got Gino, I'll take him, please. Thank you.
Right, Jake Ferguson though, he's a good tight end. Six great matchups. He's been improving. He's on Dallas, really filling in that role left by Dalton Schultz, who is also in his own right, looking good. But I think Jake Ferguson is a good play moving forward, especially in those great matchups, those six matchups. Anything else you wanted to say about David Njoku?
No, I mean, I think they're using him better in the way that he needs to be used and everything. So I think that plays a huge role. So we'll see what happens. Honestly, if people don't come and try to trade for him while I have him on the trade block, I think this is the only year I can do it. Like, if you don't get him this year, I don't think you're going to get him. Because I have Dalton. I'm going to have him and Dalton Kincaid. If they're both putting up points, I mean, I'm throwing them in there straight up. So anyway.
Should we talk a little bit about tight end strategy?
We can, yeah, let's do
All right. So, well, just while we're on the topic of starting two tight ends, which I know you're doing right now, more out of necessity than anything else,
yeah,
but
that's
when we look at the tight ends that are, when we look at tight ends versus wide receivers. So you look at your flex options. So you get, if you go into your league, you look at your flex season stats, look at, okay, who are in the top? Let's see, you got 36, figure 24 wide receivers, 24 running back. So after 48 at those positions, who else is in play? So you look at 57, and that's Sam Laporta. So Sam Laporta is probably the only type, like a Sam Laporta level type person, if he's your second tight end, that's kind of what you're looking at in a starter, or a flex starter tight end. Like Taysom Hill is 62. He's the next guy down. So, you know, and Cole Kmet 63. So like the point I'm trying to make is if even like someone like George Kittle at 72, those tight ends are, you know, top five tight ends, some of them, and yet still not really producing enough fantasy points to compete with most running backs and wide receivers. So your ceiling is greatly lowered. So I would be careful of starting two tight ends as a strategy. Now, as a necessity, that's another thing. But, you know, certainly as a week in, week out strategy, it's tough because you kind of want to always put them in your lineup. But, you know, you can't usually. Lowers your ceiling.
It could be situational too, where if you have a really amazing tight end who you know is like Goddard, Kelsey, whatchamacallit.
Yeah, I'll give you an example too. You're talking Mark Andrews.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it. So like I've got Jonnu Smith, Kate Otten, and Cole Kmet on my team right now. All three of them are doing great, actually. But I'm only starting Cole Kmet of those three, which has been pretty good. Jonnu Smith is last week was a painful 20 points on my bench. But you know what? This is what we live with.
Trade him.
Should we talk about starts of the week?
Oh, yeah, because this is my favorite segment. I know it's yours too.
I've had three bad weeks, Dr. Chibb, and it's just like dragging me through the mud, you know?
And the thing is, you pick first in the past 3 weeks.
Nah, not really. Like, I've let you pick first, but like I silently pick first, right? And then I would change any of my guys if you wanted them.
Which I have not wanted any of your guys.
No, and that's probably a good choice by you.
Clearly. So point is, I'm doing amazing. All right. So last week, I picked quarterback Joshua Dobbs. I picked running back Zach Charbonnet. I picked wide receiver Jahan Dotson. I picked tight end Jonnu Smith. I picked defense was Las Vegas. And I picked my kicker as Blake Groupie. And what happened? Quarterback Joshua Dobbs did good. Whew, great. And he only played one half. He would have done great if he played the whole thing. All right, next, my running back, Zach Charbonnet, horrible. The whole Seahawks just, oh, my God, throw him in the trash for that game. All right, next one, wide receiver Jahan Dotson. He did good against the New England Patriots. Jonnu Smith against Minnesota, he did great. All right, and then defense.
Okay, wait. Who throws a screen pass to a big, bulky tight end? That's apparently, yeah, that is yeah. – That's a play. That's a play you can run. It worked.
You weren't listening to my analysis, and that's what threw you off.
I gotta say, the only thing that's more embarrassing than throwing a screen to like a big bulky tight end like Jonnu Smith is the team that they do it against and it working. But I gotta say, it was all the blocking. There was three great blocks on that screen. So, anyways, sorry. Painful moment for me. Had to relive it for the fans.
You are fine. And then defense, Las Vegas, they did their job. I love it. Like LV must stand for love because I love it. So, next one, and then the kicker Blake Groupie. He did good. You know, he did okay against Chicago, so we'll see. I think I picked him again this week.
Yeah. I honestly, this week was a pretty good week overall for us, Chip. I think in terms of, or I should say last week, week nine, all of our picks, most of our picks were pretty good. I mean, we had only three negative picks amongst us, which is impressive. I think that's our best week yet. Truly, truly. On my side, I picked Sam Howell. He was okay. And again, okay means doable. These are guys that were, you know, we're not always reaching for the stars. We love the stars, but you know, okay is fine. That means they did their job. Miles Sanders, running back, he did okay as well. Rashi Rice, wide receiver, he did okay as well. Cade Otton did great at tight end. And this is the order, by the way, that I fill things in. So I was sitting here like, okay, all right, I'm plus two. I got this. This is reachable. I can do what Dr. Chib did. I can get a four on our scale. And Washington was not great against New England. I played them, so I felt that. So negative one there. I still got a point. Maybe I can get close to Dr. Chib, but I chose a Seahawk, and that was my downfall. So Jason Myers, kicker for the Seahawks against Baltimore. Not great. Yeah. Don't bet on the Seahawks. Is that Seahawks aren't last year's Seahawks?
Notice he never picks anybody from Buffalo. Just notice that. Like, he could have picked Dalton and Cade. He didn't say anything. He just kept it.
you see, Dr. Chip, you and I play fantasy and things kind of the exact opposite way, right? And we've talked about this before. You're of the mindset that you got to put positive energy into your team all day, every day. And you say, all right, I'm going to bet on my guys. And don't get me wrong, there's times that I do bet on my guys. But for a fan base that has never won the Super Bowl and been snake bitten four times in a row, which again, I wasn't really kicking at that point, but I still, you know, you still internalize that sometimes and you feel the tension in the air with those as a fan. In this kind of a fan base, we tend to call that jinxing. So I tend to stay away from the Bills, guys. I like to actually bet against the Bills. So that way, no matter what happens, I'm probably happy most of the time, one way or another.
Boo, cop out.
And you'll see, I'm choosing somebody against the Bills this week.
The worst fan ever. You are not kicked out the Bills Mafia. Here's the funny part. He's telling me all this, like, he's like, I gotta bet against them sometimes so I don't jinx them, all this other stuff. And he's like, Chip, you need to start Dalton Kincaid in your team. You know, he's doing so great. And I'm like, bro, I can't start him. Every time I take somebody off my taxi and start them, they get injured. I can't do that to him. And he's like, no, you have to start him. I'm like, what is wrong with you? positivity is in the wrong place.
No. See, I don't think that you're not a fan of Buffalo, so you don't jinx him. You know, that's how that works. I mean, I do have Josh Allen starting in our league every week, except for week 13 this week or this year. So, you know, and I had Gabe Davis once upon a time. I had Dawson Knox once upon a time. And they both kind of didn't do enough for me. I do have Khalil Shakir, who is really coming on for Buffalo. Talk about a wide receiver that we need to step up. And he's kind of stepped up in Dalton Schultz. Dawson Knox. There's too many. There's way too many names that start with D. I just got to say, look at our last minute investment segment. David Montgomery, Derrick Henry, DeAndre Hopkins, Devontae Adams, Devonta Smith, David Njoku. What the heck?
Too many D's.
D's, yeah.
Any more Z's or something.
Zadarius, come on. Where the Zadarius is at?
Yeah, where the Z's?
We still have a strong D in that name. Zadarius. What the hell? Too much D. That's what I always say.
Defense. All right, let's keep going. All right.
All right. Who are you guys this week? So naturally, Dr. Chibble won last week. He's 5.5 wins, and I'm on a 3-week slide at 3.5. I was winning at one point in the season. I was up by 2 at one point.
Were you?
I was. I was. It was 3. I swear it was like 3.5 to like, I don't know, maybe. I think it was 1.5, but that wouldn't make sense. I think it was 0.5 to 2.5. I don't know. It feels like a 3-week slide, but maybe it's been 5 weeks. I don't know.
Hey, take that L. That's all it is. I knew I was going to win.
Okay. So who are your guys this week, Chip?
Oh, this week? Okay. You know I got my quarterback, Geno Smith. You know, he gonna do his thing against Washington. He got to redeem himself. So that's what I'm going on. All right, running back, I got Deontay Foreman versus Carolina. I think they're going to get a little, you know, mojo going, do something good there.
Mojo moment.
I got wide receiver Tyler Lockett versus Washington. I think, you know, they can figure some things out in that defense and move the chains. Tight end, I'm going with Dalton Kincaid versus Denver. You see me choosing his guy? Trying to help him out. So, defense, I got Baltimore versus Cleveland. And, yeah, that seems weird, but they're not rated high in our league. So, I chose them. And then kicker, I got Blake Groupe again versus Minnesota. I'm hoping it's like kind of a shootout-ish thing and get plenty of kicks. And I'm hoping that Josh Dobbs just goes to work. Your turn.
All right. Let's see. So I already told you my quarterback, Will Levis versus Tampa Bay. It didn't work out for me last week, unfortunately, after his big game. But I'm going to continue to bet on the kid because he just keeps looking good. So, and he's got that rushing upside too. So, which we still really haven't seen. So, running back will be Miles Sanders for the second week in a row. I like what I saw, but he's still coming on. And they were still using Chuba Hubbard. Wow. It sounds like a squash. It is a squash. But
I'm like, the D is that you choked up on this one. And I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
It wasn't even a D in this one. So,
what, Chicago? You think I should be scared of
Chuba Hubbard? Oh. Like, it wasn't like you were saying Donovan or Devin or something with a D.
Oh, no. It was because I was about to say his name and I was like, no, that can't be right. That's a squash. His name is not Hubbard. There's a blue Hubbard. It's delicious squash. I don't know. it's a rare squash. All right, I'm done. All right. Take me off the mic. Yeah. No. Jerry Jeudy, wide receiver versus Buffalo. I told you I had one. Now listen, Taron Johnson, one of the best nickel cornerbacks in the game, hasn't been doing all that great for us. So we've been getting killed by slot wide receivers. So I've been trying to keep an eye on this. So you should too. But Jerry Jeudy is a possible good start against Buffalo. Tight end Dalton Schultz versus Cincinnati. I think that's going to be a shootout game. I am so excited to see CJ Stroud against Cincinnati, a legit team. This could be a real test for the kid. And also, if he could take Joe Burrow down a peg, that would really help. Las Vegas versus the Jets. I liked what they did last week for Dr. Chibb, so I felt like I should jump on this bandwagon. I don't think the Jets are going to do enough with their O-line to stop Max Crosby. So let's let the Raiders eat. And then kicker, this is mostly because I wanted to give this guy a shout out, Dustin Hopkins versus Baltimore. He is on our waiver wires. Otherwise, I would not be putting him in this list. He's currently in every league that has normal kicker scoring. He's the number one kicker. And in most leagues, I believe he's on the waivers. He's the kicker for Cleveland, and Cleveland now has a healthy quarterback, which means that they're going to actually go and kick field goals. They're going to score points. This kid put up 22 points in 1 week, and that's almost a week winning performance for you out of your kicker. It at least sets a good floor for you. If he's out there, go grab him, because he's probably better than whatever kicker you have. That's it. That's the list. So
I have a free spot on my bench.
Yeah. Why don't you go get a fourth kicker?
You put up 20 points. That's like a quarterback. You might as well.
Not every week, Jim. Not every week. Don't go Dare Agumbawale this.
Someone's going to come to me and say, hey, can I get that kicker? I'm like, I need a first-round pick.
Yeah, you know, Dr. Chip, you could actually play a kicker at the running back position if you pick up Dare Agumbawale.
Do we get points for kicking it? Because I saw it. It was beautiful.
You do. You get 3 points if your running back kicks a field goal.
Oh.
I don't think he's doing it again. Hopefully.
Why did he kick it anyway? I forgot.
Their kicker, Kaimi Fairbairn, was injured.
For the rest of the game or just for?
For the rest of the game. They were totally out. They went for two every time until, I believe, I'm trying to remember if it was a game winner or not.
It was a game winner. That's what I was like. There was a lot on the line for that kick.
Yeah. I thought it was. I thought it was a game freaking winner. That's ridiculous.
Imagine going to the court and say, Coach, I kicked that.
Huh? Yeah. I think he was on the side of the field just practicing his kicks, and he's like, all right, Coach, I'm finally ready. I'm ready. We can do this.
Are you sure? Come on, let's go.
I got it.
I don't know. I did it in that one.
You know, it's moments like this that totally bring down the stock of kickers in the league everywhere. It's like, oh, right, kicker doesn't matter.
I think opposite because I think the accumulation of what they did before, just going for two for everything, shows that kickers do matter. It's like, yeah, we can't kick it, so we're going to go ahead and go for two for every single one. And putting all your hopes on this one guy, his kick was good, right? But it wasn't perfection, you know what I mean? So, but he kicked in high school, they said.
Well, that makes sense, yeah. So, I also kicked in high school. Not like that, though.
You know, a funny story I had of a friend on our high school football team. Our team was, they were 15-0. They were playing the last game of the season. They just scored a touchdown, and they were down by – no. They got the ball, and it was, like, no time on the clock left. And the game was – they were down by, like, a point or 2 points. I forget what it was. They were going to kick a field goal. Our field goal kicker has not missed all season. He's automatic. Like, he's just like, yep. Put it there. I kick it. We score. We go home. And so he's ready to go. The coach wanted to honor one of our seniors, and he put him in as a holder, right? And he's done this before. It's not his first time holding. But he's like, all right, you go and hold it for this one. It'll be our last game of the season. We'll be a big send-off. Like, we'll celebrate, all that stuff. My man goes in. He's excited. They snap it. He fumbled the catch.
Of course he did. Don't do that. Yeah.
He came back to the dorms crying. He cried the whole bus ride. But the funny part is none of the guys were upset. They're like, whatever. because in our school they don't play for a championship. Right? They don't because they're a boarding school and they don't have like a actual league. They just travel the country and play anyone that was willing to play them. So, so they're like, whatever. But I think a lot of the seniors didn't care because all the seniors except for him, they were going to D1 colleges anyway. So like, it's not like it's our last game. Like, we got more games to play. So
but it's his last game ever playing.
It was. Now he's a cop.
Wow. Jeez. I don't want to be on his bad side. All right. Let's talk fantasy trade deadlines. So this this segment is really put in here to talk to you guys about what to do at the trade deadline. You know, we talk a lot about trades because that is the mainstay of dynasty fantasy football. If you're not trading, you're not getting better, and you're probably getting worse because without trading, your players just age and you're using up assets. When you trade, you are able to accumulate more assets off of one guy who's kind of skyrocketed, right? Or vice versa, you're able to take a few nickels and get a quarter. So we want to talk about how to pull off trades and different styles that you can use to pull off trades at the deadline. When we just have, like in our league, we only have this week. This is the last week we can do trades. So until the finals, right? Until the finals are over. So how can you do this? Well, there's a lot of styles out there for trying to get a quick trade in that means a lot for your team. So first off, if you're a non-contender, this might be a decent option for you, depending on what you're looking to do. You can do a fire sale. So, you know, a lot of people do like a joking fire sale and just put, you know, say everything goes. But really, if you're putting thought into this, I just saw one person. He went and named a price for every single player on his team. He said, this is what it'll take to get this player off my squad. You know, he just put it in picks, you know. So that's something you can do. That's an easy thing that you can say, put in the chat, hey, attention all, and here's all my players for sale. Option B for fire sale. And this one gets more attention, I think, but it also, I think, is more annoying for a lot of the people in your league. But you could put everyone on the trade block on your team, or at least the players that you're willing to trade, right? So you just put them all out there. Everyone in your league will get a notification every single time you put a player on there. So be aware and take advantage of that. The only thing about putting a player on the block is you're playing the waiting game. You're waiting for them to come to you, which isn't necessarily a good way to get a speedy trade. So you usually have to go to other people to go get a trade. Unless you put somebody on the block and name a price, that sometimes will get trades moving. Assuming it's a good price that people are willing to pay. So looking at if you've got everybody on the block, you know, you might follow it up with a few trade offers around the league. It's worth noting too that putting people on the block sometimes also lowers their value. So worth keeping in mind. Style number two, shotgun approach. This is my personal favorite. It does have its downfalls, especially because you feel rejection pretty hard if nobody responds. It's kind of sad. But you definitely... What's that?
Nobody has responded to me.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't respond to you, honestly.
Really?
I'm just messing.
Like, is he not a good player? Okay, that's like a problem.
But the shotgun approach has sent similar trades to everyone in the league. So even, you know, it might vary a little bit here and there based upon who, the team you're trading with. But you might also, or you might decide, okay, I'm going to go after just those people that are currently not in, you're not in contention. So you're a contender, you trade four players on a non-contending team. So shotgun approach, a pointed attack, pointed trade. You can target one person with lots of trade offers. You might do this if you want the first overall pick or something like that. If there's somebody on their team that you're really looking to get, you can really attack one person with trades. Now beware, you know, you might really piss them off. So you gotta do it with je ne sais quoi. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
That's a fair word. you gotta be careful how you do it. You know, you wanna come in it gently and not too aggressive. I said attack one person, but I don't actually mean attack them. You wanna go in with you know, make sure that you're not pissing the player off by or the person off with stupid trades, you know, or unrealistic trades is a better way to say that.
It's a fact.
Yep. So the fourth style I have here is slow burn. This is just a term I came up with. Maybe there's a better term out there, but you could also think about it as like a three-headed attack, but you're sending offers to only a few teams and you kind of massage them to suit the teams. This is probably the best, most mature way to go about it, is you put some thought into it and send offers to a few teams. This is the best way to go about it if you have a really active league. Unfortunately, not every league is super duper active. And so sometimes you'll do this, you'll put in the thought and you'll get nothing back from anyone. And it feels like a total waste of your time, where sometimes the shotgun approach, at least somebody bites. What are your thoughts?
That's true. I probably need to, just looking at my situation, I probably need to go and look at people who need tight ends and say, hey, just letting you know, offers out here, limited time. Let me know if you want them, and then go from there.
Yeah, yeah, that's probably a good place to start. Absolutely.
Since I have all the tight ends.
I'll tell you, I don't need a tight end.
You don't need a tight end, or you need a great tight end?
I don't need a decent tight end. I've got a few decent tight ends.
Okay, that's fine. Say so. Don't come calling me later and say that, Jay, I need, give me Njoku. I'm like, no.
I need him.
He's off the market. He's with me now.
Oh, no.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Next week, we're talking weeks 10 and 11.
Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast wherever you listen.
That's our weekly podcast, y'all. Don't forget to choose happiness.